You are now tuned in to the Togetherness Podcast with your host, Andre D. Harrison, where we discuss life, marriage, and relationships. Hope you enjoy today's topic. How's everybody doing today? How's everybody doing? You are now watching and listening to Rap with Dre, the Togetherness Podcast. It is Thursday, January 24th, 2019. We are already 24 days in to 2019. That is amazing. Sorry, I'm off camera. Get my tea. Amazing. Amazing, 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 man. 24 days in already. 2019 is in full effect. How's everybody doing? Thank you, everybody, for watching. Appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. All right. Now, a little bit about what this is. This is the Togetherness Podcast. So I do this to have a conversation with some of you guys, either on Facebook, YouTube, and Get Vocal. I also take the recording and create a podcast that's available on a lot of the podcast streams out there. Okay. I really appreciate you guys for listening. This is episode 9. Some of you guys have been extremely faithful to this, watching it, and I appreciate you guys. I feel like you guys are part of the family, the Togetherness family, the Rap with Dre family, and I appreciate your support, your commitment to watching and listening every single week. I appreciate you guys. Trust me, I really, really appreciate you guys. Marisol, you're here every week watching and giving your insight, and I really appreciate your presence. Jada, a couple of the Get Vocal family, everybody on Facebook, Shanita, Luz, everybody. Thank you guys so much. All right. So let me share this with you guys. A little disclaimer. I don't pretend to be a love guru. I'm not a love guru at all. I'm just a guy that failed in my marriage, went to school, got my marriage and family, master's in marriage and family counseling. So I can sort of help couples achieve greatness in their marriages and in their relationships. I am like formally trained to help marriages and family in the area of marriage and relationships and family. And I just want to help people out. That's all I really want to do. Just help. Be there for people. Be there for you. Family is one of those things that's not cookie cutter. Everybody has a different type of family. I do come from a Christian perspective, so everything that I share really comes from a biblical perspective. But I do believe that many of the principles that are found in the Bible, if we apply it to our relationships and marriages, will help bring our marriages up and our relationships with people up as well, and our children. So that's who I am. I'm not a love expert, marriage expert. I'm just a guy who was able to receive some knowledge through my schooling, and I just want to be able to help people out. Now, you can contact me in a couple of ways. If you're already watching on Facebook, you know how to contact me through Facebook. If you're watching on Get Vocal or YouTube, you can hit me up on Facebook by facebook.com/ The Andre D. Harrison. I couldn't do Andre D. Harrison because it was already taken. I don't know by who. But the dot Andre dot D dot Harrison. All right. If you are on Instagram and you want to connect on Instagram, hey, Vanessa, you missed my old preachings. I miss you too. Thank you guys. Thank you so much for your encouragement. If you are on Instagram and you want to hit me up on Instagram, you can do so also at Andre_D_Harrison. And if you're on Twitter, follow me on Twitter as well. And that's at Andre D. Harrison. There's no periods, no underscores. That's straight Andre D. Harrison. Also, me and my sons have a YouTube channel. Yeah, we have a YouTube channel. Many of you guys know that. Some of you guys do not know that. If you don't know it, all you have to go to youtube.com, search Harrison Family Vlogs, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell next to it. It'll let you know when I upload new videos. I uploaded a video yesterday. I also have a YouTube channel specifically for the marriage, I guess, service that I offer. I also have a website for what I offer, togethernesscoaching.com. I'm going to share a little bit about that in a second. But if you search on YouTube, the Togetherness Marriage and Family, that's T-W-O-getherness, not just T-O-G-E-T-H-E-R. It's T-W-O-getherness Marriage and Family. hit subscribe, hit follow, all that good stuff on there. I really would really appreciate that. We also have a podcast. So after I record this live, I take the audio and I put it on a podcast to share all over. So it can be heard on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, and so many others. And if you would like to be able to listen to it or share it with a friend who may not have YouTube or video or Facebook, but they have a means to listen to a podcast, you can share that also by searching Togetherness Podcast. That's T-W-O, Togetherness Podcast, and all those formats, and share it out to whatever friends you would like to. And also, there's also a way for you to support this podcast financially. I'm not asking anybody to give, but if you're in a place to give, and you have been with me for the past 9 episodes and you think that what I offer is beneficial to people, you can help out financially if you choose. No pressure. But if you choose, you can go to my Patreon page. That's patreon.com/ Andre D. Harrison. That's Andre D. Harrison. No underscore, no periods. Patreon. That's patreon.com/ Andre D. Harrison. And you can give as little as $5 a month. Anything will help. Help me be able to maintain these podcasts every week. What else? If you don't have money, that's fine. I don't mind. Like, you can support this show and this podcast in different ways. You can share it out on Facebook. Make sure you share this with whoever you can. You can share the podcast on Apple, Spotify, iTunes, wherever it is. If you have access to my YouTube channel, share these videos out, because hopefully it'll help somebody out. Hopefully it'll help enhance somebody's marriage or somebody's relationship, or even somebody's dating, because we also talk about topics relating to people dating as well. All right. Lastly, wedding season is approaching. I am a marriage officiant. Yes, I can do marriage. I'm an ordained minister. And I can also provide premarital counseling. I have this thing that I created called premarriage counseling. It's a togetherness premarriage counseling. If you would like more information on this, if you are an engaged couple, or you're about to be engaged, or you're not engaged yet and you're just not sure if the person you want to marry is the right person, this would be perfect for you. If you go to www.togethernesscoaching.com, you can sign up there, and we can have a session, a couple of sessions, but the price is there too. It's a great program for people who are looking to make a lifelong commitment. Sometimes we make poor decisions, and all this does is really, and this is a service that I provide that helps bring everything up front, so that two people can make the right decision before they get married. The right decision. Breaking up is not a bad thing. It hurts. It hurts. But sometimes it's necessary before people make a lifelong commitment such as marriage, because at that point it's too late. So if you would like premarriage counseling, pre-engagement counseling, anything like that, hit me up. Go to www.togetherness. That's T-W-O, togethernesscoaching.com. All right. Now, topic at hand. This is going to be a good topic. Okay. Because this is some of those things. This is one of those topics where people really don't consider. They really don't consider. When we look to date somebody, we're really looking to date somebody that's going to make us happy. We want to know that they meet all our requirements. And if they can meet all our requirements, we're going to be happy. We're going to be content. We're going to be good. But one of those things we don't consider is, am I meeting the list that they have for what they want in somebody? So today's topic is, are you the person you're looking for, the person they're looking for? We don't ever consider that, do we? Like, let's be real. Do you ever say to yourself, when you meet somebody, I wonder if I meet their requirements for dating? Or I wonder if they have a checklist and if I meet all those checklists. A lot of us have checklists out there. We all do. Some of us, like, there's some things that I would like that I like in women that I just don't want to sacrifice on or just don't want to go without. We all have lists, right? But sometimes those lists can be extremely superficial, very superficial. And we don't put too much thought in the list, and we don't put too much thought in whether or not we meet the list of other people. We all have done it. We all created lists that describe the features of a person that we want to be with, but we rarely consider, are we what the other person wants and what the other person needs? So we spend so much time looking for someone to meet our criteria, but we don't consider if we meet their criteria. So today we're talking about, do we meet the criteria of the people that we are dating? And if not, then we may have to really do some self-reflecting and answer the question that, am I the right person for this person that I'm dating? Like I said, breaking up is not always a bad thing. Breaking up can be a positive thing, especially if two people aren't compatible. They can break apart and find somebody that they're compatible with. All right. So let's unpack this. Let's unpack this. Why do we have lists in the first place? Why do we have lists? Do I think having lists, having standards is a bad thing? Absolutely not. Everybody should have a standard. Everybody should know exactly what they want. They should know exactly what they need. And I would never recommend anybody to go below a particular standard that they set for themselves or the person that they want to date. I always say that. However, standards is a little bit different than a list. Some of us have lists and we make those lists solely based on superficial reason. All right. Give us a focal point. All right. For instance, looks. Okay. We make lists based on looks. All right. If they don't, you know, if they aren't 5'4" with an hourglass shape, with pretty feet, long straight hair, or blonde hair, or black hair, and nice shape with big this and big that, and we make lists based on that, or if he's not, hey Jada, what's going on? If he's not of over 6 feet, making six figures minimum, with his own house and a nice car, you know, he's got to look nice and be in shape. We make lists based on superficial reasons. Do I think that you should be attracted to the person that you're with? Absolutely. But we allow superficial blinders to dictate how we should be in a, who we should be in a relationship with. And when we make decisions based on that, or if we have a list solely based on that, we're probably headed for a disastrous relationship because we really don't know what we want or what we need. All right. So why do we have lists? Because we want to make sure that we have standards for the person that we're dating. But we should also create lists for ourselves so that we can try to meet a standard for somebody else, which we rarely do. Rarely do. Lists, are your lists concrete? Like, are they like they're set in stone? You're never going to budge on these lists. You got to be cautious of those things. All right. What are your non-negotiables? What are those things that you're just not going to say no on? All right. So let's look at the positives. Okay. Let's look at the positives. Having a list. Lists can help you identify red flags faster. Some of us go into relationships and we're not able to identify red flags. And that's because we don't have standards. You know, we go into relationships and we blindly love. We allow our emotions to flow and we have a lot of ups and downs. But if you have a standard, if you have a list, it helps you identify red flags. For instance, if there are some things that you're just not going to tolerate and it's on your list, you can say, nope, that's on my list. I'm not going to go for that. Red flag. It's been nice knowing you. If you don't mind paying the check, I'm going to head out. You know, that's what lists are for. It could be a good thing. It could be a positive thing. Another thing is that lists helps us reflect on what we really want. We know what we want. Lists help. We do that in life, right? Like, I know people every year, what they do is they create vision boards. And in these vision boards, they have lists of things that they want to accomplish within the year. Okay. And that's all well and good. And sometimes a list with things that we would like to have in our spouse is a good thing. It's a really good thing. It could be. It could be. But there are some problems that we want to get in there. Okay, we want to get in there. And Jada, you know what? I'm welcome to join in. This is a great conversation. The topic is, are we the person that we want, the person that they want? Do we consider those things? All right? Here are some negatives about a list. Lists can cause you to miss a very good person because they don't meet your physical standards or the physical parts of your list. All right. And this is where superficiality comes into play and could be a very dangerous place. It could be a very dangerous place. There are men and women out there that have gotten into relationships with the wrong people because they look right. Because they look right. But the person that may not meet your physical expectations, who would definitely treat you right, who shares the same faith as you, who values family, values relationship, you'll pass up on because they are 5'7" and they drive a car from 2005 and they work a job paying $60,000 a year, but they're a hard worker. And you'll pass up on that guy because they don't meet your physical requirements, and you know, you'll miss up on a very good thing. It could be a blessing in disguise. All right, so that's one of the negative things about having a list. You could really miss out on a really good person. Another one is lists can be very superficial, and I mentioned this before. Lists can be extremely superficial. I myself have a list, especially when it comes to the physical attributes that I like in a female. I have a list. And will I veer off that list? Absolutely, I will. If I find somebody that's worth me veering off that list, do they still have to be attracted to me? Do I still have to be attracted to them? Absolutely. Absolutely. Attraction is extremely important. But I'm not going to allow myself to make a decision based on the physical attributes that I like in a female. Can't do it. And I think when people do that, it could cause a strain, because a lot of people have done that. And they've gotten into marriages, they gotten into relationships that were abusive, that were unfulfilling. And it was because, although I want somebody that I love to look at, you know, and I may have an intimate need to be with the person that I like to look at, that can't be the sole reason why I choose somebody to be with. It cannot be. Cannot be. Okay? So this can be extremely superficial. Right. And I don't know many guys that have these kind of lists, but I know women that have talked about these things. You know, they talked about the features that they want, the financial parts of the list and things like that. Sometimes we have to identify if what's on our list is meeting what we want in a man or what we need in a man. Vice versa, if what we want in a woman and what we need in a woman. Lists may not cover your needs. Now, leading into that, lists may not cover your needs. We all have needs, right? We have to identify what those needs really are. There's a book by The Five Love Languages. Reading that book and taking that assessment will help you identify what needs you have in your relationship, what needs you have in a relationship, and be able to communicate those needs with the person that you are dating. Yeah, Jada, it's a very, very good book. Lou said she doesn't have a physical attribute list. All right, so if you don't, I'm not going to say you shouldn't have one. I'm just saying that making all your decisions about a relationship on that could be dangerous. What's going on, Brother Melvin? How you doing? How you doing? Yeah, and Jada, everybody should read that book. It's a very good book. And I was able to identify my love language, and that love language is what I need in a relationship, you know. So we have to be able to really identify what we need in a relationship and not only move on what's superficial. So what you need in a relationship, what you need in somebody that you're dating or about to marry, is more important than what you want. Oh, Jada wrote, "What is mine?" I like time and words of affirmation. Yeah, so I'm the type that I don't have to be out doing a whole lot with somebody. If they're with me, I'm good. Like, if they're in my presence, that's pretty much all I really, really, really need, right? Quality time, too, is important to me as well. Yeah. Well, Jada, what are yours, if you don't mind? And I'll share it with everybody. And what are you guys, if you guys read the book on Facebook, what is your love language? Or what are some of those things that you think that you would need in somebody? And also identify what are some of the things that you feel you want in somebody. Now, the physical attributes is probably more wants than needs. But what do you need in a spouse? What would you need? And what would you want in somebody that you're dating? The Yes, Christina. The book title is The Five Love Languages. The Five Love Languages. All right. Jada says she's going to come on and we're going to discuss that. All right. Marisol says, I don't think I have any sort of list. LOL. No, you don't have that list? Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to, all right, I'll type the book title for you guys now. The Five Love Languages. All right. Yeah. So if you guys can get that book. It's a great book. They need to be paying me right now since I'm pushing this book for them. I need a cut. All right. I'm going to have my people call your people if you're watching this. You're probably not watching this, but All right. So yeah. So what are some of your needs? What are some of your wants? Let's talk about this. Let's unpack this. All right. Another negative. List can cause you not to consider it if you're good enough for somebody else. All right. So we create lists because we want to find what we want. We want to find somebody that stimulates us. We want to find somebody that would make us feel happy, that would make us feel fulfilled. But when we create such lists, we really don't make much consideration for whether or not we are good for somebody else or we're good for that other person. Marisol writes, have you seen some of my exes? All different looks, jobs, ethnic backgrounds. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So Marisol doesn't have a list. So I guess Marisol, you would say that you're probably one who would desire to be with somebody that meets your needs primarily. Okay. Tiffany says, go to bed. It is 8:25, Tiffany. I got time, co-teacher. Give me a minute. Let me finish this up. All right. Yeah. So how many of us, and let's answer honestly, Lou says, time, affection, conversation, words of action, and affirmation. Those are very good things that I think a lot of us need. But let me ask you guys a question. When you go into a relationship with somebody, have you ever considered whether or not you were good for that person? Have you ever thought, because we have lists. You know, I like this type of female. She got to look this way. And I like when this female does these things for me. Okay? They need to be able to make me feel this way. But do we stop and say, they make me feel good. They meet all my requirements, everything that's on my list. But do we stop and say, but do I meet what's on their list? Do we ever do that? Latifah Wright asks, what are the reasons for a list? Well, list is some of us have lists and some of us may call it standards. It's pretty much a way to identify what you want in somebody and what you need in somebody. Lists aren't bad. I'm not going to say that. Don't ever think or don't ever say that Andre said that lists are bad. I don't think they're bad. There's some positives and there's some negatives to it. We just got to be able to learn the difference and not be so held to these lists, because if we do, we could miss up on a great opportunity an opportunity for a great shared life with somebody, a life to spend together with. But having standards is not a bad thing. Having lists is not a bad thing. Just holding to those lists and not being fluid with it could cause us to be in unhappy situations. That was always my thought. Yeah. I have certainly thought about that. Yeah. We don't hardly ever think that. Nah, I've never stopped to think of if I meet their list needs. I pretty much assume I've met it because they wouldn't be with me. Isn't that true? Well, not necessarily, Marisol. The thing is, when we get into a relationship, we'll make commitments to people that once we make a commitment, it's hard to get out of that commitment. And we'll be with people that don't meet our needs just because we feel like we love them or we've been with them so long or we made a commitment or we're afraid to get into another situation. Latifah Wright, no, because many men never ask or have a list. Now, Latifah, I did say that before. Most of the men that I've spoken to, they don't have a list. Like a lot of men don't have a list. They have physical preferences that they like in females, but they really stop to make a list. Luce writes, can I be the partner that I want this person to be for me? Is a question I always ask myself. Well, since you always ask yourself that, what kind of answer do you give yourself? What kind of answer do you give yourself? Like, what do you think about that? and Melvin, check and get vocal now. Because it's an important question that we have to ask. We can't go into a relationship thinking that I'm going to find somebody to meet all my needs, some of my wants, and then I'm going to live happily ever after. Life doesn't happen that way. And if you love somebody, you're not going to think that I'm just going to find somebody to meet my needs. You're going to desire to meet their needs also. And that's also another piece of evidence. If you found somebody that really, really, really loves you, you know, imagine this, okay, ladies and gentlemen, the person that you fell in love with sits down with you and says, you know, I got to be honest with you. Like I had a list, but since meeting you, I got to say that you've met all my needs. Like you make me feel like I'm the man, or you make me feel like I'm the only woman in the world. Like you love me so much and I appreciate that. But do I make you feel the same way? How often do we do that? How do you know unless you get to know them first? Well, now that's a whole different topic, Marisol. It's a whole different topic, getting to know somebody. Brandon writes, as a man, have a list and have preference. Absolutely. Like I said this before, standards is important. It's important to have standards. And Lou says, usually I can meet the needs I'm asking for. They are very basic needs. Okay, yeah. Yeah. But sometimes we have needs that aren't the same as others. Like what I'm asking for, and that's the whole thing about relationships. People have different needs. All right. Unless you found somebody just like you, you may have two different, you know, needs or many different needs that you need to fulfill for one another. Asking these questions helps do that. How you doing, Jada?
Hey, Jay. Hey, everyone. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and just it's nice and clear.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. By the way, everyone should definitely read that book. So it's weird because I had two hard copies for years and I just got through the audiobook like a week ago. And it's actually a little different because what they do in the audiobook is The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. Yeah, right. And what they do in the audiobook, because it's a lot more recent, they interviewed him. So it was like 16 minutes of him being interviewed on why him and his wife actually started doing like the research and stuff like that. But I think that is a good way to look at certain things from that aspect. Like, oh, is that person not only good for me, but am I good for them? Because what we tend to do is we end up dating the way we want, and which you should, right? Because you have to put yourself first, mm-hmm. right? But then being in that relationship, just like you said a few minutes ago, you know, you have to literally look at it from the perspective of, hey, am I, even though this person seems so good for me, am I good for them? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that goes back to even speaking each other's love languages, right? Yeah. We tend to love people the way we want to be loved, but that's selfish. And when you are in a relationship, it should be a mutual thing, right? Where you guys are both being selfless in that aspect, right? He or she, whatever, should be loving me the way I need to be loved and I would like to be loved, the same way I should love he or she the way they need to be loved, where I'm speaking their love language. Mm-hmm. So I think that poses a good question. I mean, there are moments that in my dating relationship where I was extremely selfish. So I would literally just look at it from my perspective. I would, right? I'm going to probably answer that in a second, but I would look at it extremely selfish in a way that I would just be like, yo, is this person like compatible with me? Like, can we kick it? You know, as far as marking off that list, you know what I mean? And whether I'm willing to budge on this that I thought was so important and it had to be adamant, like this way. I was very structured at one point in my life where I'm saying in that aspect where I was just like, what? If you don't have blah, 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 that's not happening.
And with that list, you didn't budge, right? Like this list.
Yeah, where I really, truly did not budge. Like there was no gray area. And as I'm getting older, I'm learning that there are some gray areas. And, you know, everything is not so black and white. Because like when I tell you, but I will say I've noticed back then where I feel like I was really young, where I felt like me being so structured, 9 times out of 10, I got what I wanted.
Okay.
I will say that.
Yeah.
Because there was no like hidden agenda. There was no me trying to figure certain things out.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, this is me. This is what I like. If you're not, but just like in your, I think last week's episode where we were talking about, oh, or it was someone's show, I forgot, where there's like, you're literally disguising who you are to literally please me.
Yeah.
And so that I would run into that as well.
Yeah.
So
there's another book. Yeah. I forgot who wrote it. His Needs, Her Needs.
Yeah. That's what it was. Book as well.
His Needs, Her Needs. And they talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Think of an actual question.
It says, how do you separate the two? As far as, what? Which one?
Well, while he answers that, Brandon writes on Facebook, friendship is a big foundation for me so I can get to know someone without just making a commitment and dealing with the unraveling. Yeah. Actually, we've been talking about that for the past couple of episodes too, about the importance of a friendship.
Friendship.
Knowing one another, removing the mask, not trying to make a first impression, just being yourself in the very beginning.
And, I agree.
And so Marvin wrote, not expecting the same kind of love that you give to the person that you love. Okay, so he's asking, how do you know the difference? Like if I know what I like and I'm presenting that same way to somebody else who may not like the same things, like how do I?
In my opinion, I'm sorry, I didn't know if you were going to answer that, but for me, I know that's when getting to know your partner, right? So that's when asking questions are extremely important, especially in the beginning. And even so, there's things that I'm still learning, and I've known this man for a long time, right? Where I'm still learning things about my husband that I didn't even know, right? So it's like very strange, but it's a good thing, right? Because then it keeps things going. But it's just, I feel like it's about getting to know your partner, right? Getting to know their likes and dislikes. You know, do you like when I'm X, Y, and Z? You know, do you like when I rub your shoulders? Some people, they don't like physical touch, right? Do you like when we spend quality time together? Do you like words of affirmation? You know, that's when we go and we dive deep, like as far as just getting to know them on a different type of level than everyone else knows them, right? Where I feel like you really get to know them because you're being selfless, where you're not loving them the way you want to be loved. Mm-hmm. You're loving them the way they need to and want to be loved. Mm-hmm. So that's from my perspective.
Yeah. Having a conversation about it, and a genuine conversation.
Yes.
But if you know you're going to struggle with that, then just be mature enough to say, I probably won't be able to be successful in loving you that way. And it may be better for you to find somebody else that can.
That's true.
Yeah. Lou's right. Do we share at least one common interest? Can we talk about any subject and listen to each other, others' responses, and understand that we may have differences of opinion and that be okay for both of us? That would be the ideal situation.
Yeah.
Have differences. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's, I can't say that it's bad to find somebody just like you. Well, I can't say.
But that's very rare. Let's be honest. Yeah. That's very, very rare. And Dr. Trotman talks about that and speaks about that in his book, mm-hmm. where that's very rare, where it's very unusual for people to speak each that are in a relationship that speak each other's primary love languages, where you guys are very similar. You may think that you're similar, but you have so many differences that you don't even realize.
Yep. Yeah. So, but I think, finding somebody I talk about puzzles, right? And how puzzle pieces are different. But when they come together, they make one image. They make one image. So even though
it's a beautiful masterpiece.
Yeah. Even though two people can be very different, when they come together, they balance one another out and they become whole. They become together. T-W-O together. That's my thing.
you promote.
My thing. Brandon writes, words, actions, patterns, accountability to them doing what they say, and me being accountable to my time. That's important too. Yeah, it's all important. And complimentary. Very, very true, Brandon. Very true. Very true. I think in regards to the topic, stopping and asking ourselves, hey, Coma, how's it going?
Hey. Rick.
So asking ourselves, you know, and be mature about it. Because let's be honest. You're in a situation where you find somebody that treats you dope. Like, they treat you good. You don't want to lose that. So you're afraid to ask yourself, wow, man, am I really good for the person that's treating me so well?
I think that's maturity, though. Yeah. And that's knowing oneself.
But here's a beautiful thing about that also. Asking yourself that question allows you the opportunity to meet those needs as well. If you really love somebody, you're going to want to meet the needs of the person that you're with. There's no possible way. And I'm going to say, if you're listening right now and you're in a relationship and you're questioning whether or not the person that you're with loves you, if they're not willing to meet your needs, they probably don't. They probably just like the way that you treat them and they don't want to lose that. All right.
Or maybe on that superficial level where they just like the fact that you guys look together and stuff like that. It could be that as well.
Yes. That's a thing.
Because, no, it is. Especially we're in the society of everything being on social media.
Yeah.
You know, the way we look and how we appear to everyone else. And, you know, all that takes into account nowadays in 2019. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People, they look good together.
They look good together.
Yeah. They're cute.
Ritz, I don't even think so. Ritz said, it says, or it could be only the sex, it's only sex driven. But let me tell you, people will sit there and cheat, whatever, and then still be in a relationship that appears on the outside, because that's more addicting than you literally climaxing even during sex. They'll sit there and cheat on somebody. They'll cheat with somebody else because they're able to get sexually satisfied and then still try to appear like picture perfect with the person that they're with, because they want their appearance. They want to look good on paper. They want to look good on camera. Like, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it could be a number of reasons why people end up staying and literally be selfish in that aspect.
But you mentioned it, right? I think it's the whole social media thing. This is going to be tough for a lot of us to listen to.
It's true.
How many times do we rush into a relationship and we start putting our relationship so quickly on social media, hoping that people would look at it and respond to it? You know, because we're concerned about that imagery. We're concerned about that imagery. We want to be able to look cute together and let others know that we are a cute couple. We are a power couple. We are about it. You should be just like us because we got everything.
We should be hashtag relationship goals.
Boy. I've used that.
When you put it like that.
Luz writes, why isn't there a raise hand motion for Facebook Live conversations like this? There should be. Facebook, get on it. Brandon writes, especially if they are down to assist in the elevation of the other, but it's the elevation of the us mentality. And that's a big thing too, Brandon. You know, thinking of relationships as us being together. I've said this also, how I've been in a relationship and I tell somebody, I don't just say, I love you. You know, if I fall in love and I like how we're moving, I try to use words like, I love us as well. Not just you, but us as well. But so I really get that, Brent. Great point. Marisol says she uses that hashtag all the time on Facebook. And Rich writes, I had a relationship where a woman was only happy when we were having sex, have a bunch of orgasms, then switch into a nasty person right after. Never made sense to me. So you guys will have a great time sexually, but then after that, they became real mean to you.
She's selfish.
Yeah, that's not.
That's what that was. He said a demon.
Yeah, I call that the black widow. you know, Black Widows, they mate, and then after they kill their
they kill.
So Tora's right. She likes the sex, but not the person. Again, if
you, that's what I'm saying. So she's selfish. She just wanted to get off. She wanted to get her rocks off and reach her climax and then keep it moving. She literally, I know I have a problem with my facial expressions, but that's exactly what she wanted. She wanted to, she was selfish. And that's,
And if you're not,
she didn't care about you or your needs.
If you're in that situation now, kindly bow out.
Oh, no, he said it was an ex, right? I think he said it was an ex.
Okay. So yeah, and if she's your ex, then that's a good thing. Keep it there.
And keep her there.
Yeah, keep her there. Lose the number, block her on all your social media, all that stuff. That's not relationship goals, guys. Don't hashtag that. So let me just continue real quick. Conversations like this about meeting each other's needs, our list, I think should happen within the first 5 dates, so that expectations are out there, and it doesn't have to be too thick. You know, talk about the small stuff first. You don't want to get into in the first 5 dates what you want your husband or your wife to be doing for you. That's way too soon, you know. But if you are in the friend level, have casual conversations about the type of person you are, what kinds of things that you appreciate about how somebody else will make you feel. Brandon writes, bringing up the same argument that led to the sex after the sex, it is selfish. He's been there. Yes, it's a tough thing to be in. You know, the guys are all in these situations. Yeah. But try to bring these up in the first couple of dates. And don't wait. Yeah. Bring them up. Have these dope conversations. Some of us are so afraid to talk, and we spend more time trying to create experiences and not, you know, engaging in meaningful conversations to really get to know somebody. You can't really get to know somebody just trying to create experiences. You have to be able to talk, have to be able to communicate.
Communication is important.
Yeah, it's ideal. Like people say, like, that there's so many different marriage problems that lead to divorce. One of the things that is at the core of a lot of these is communication. And it's also how you communicate. You know, people talk about money, you know, causes people to get divorced. Lack of communication about money, honest communication about money can probably lead to divorce.
That's very true. I was about to say, I'm sorry, to piggyback off of what you just said. So they say the pillars, like they say a relationship is like a house. And in order to build, you have to have the foundation. And so the pillars to the house, right, where you want to make it a home, are literally communication and trust. So it has to be built from there. Communication and trust.
That's good.
And if you don't have that, it isn't going to go anywhere. No. You're going to stay stagnant. You're going to keep falling. Every time you try to build, but you're not really building.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's communication and trust.
And if it's not built on that, then it's probably going to crumble, and crumble hard.
Really?
Crumble hard. Hey, cuz, how you doing, Marilyn? She came in late. Hope all is well. How's everything in Trinidad?
Trinidad
is in the house. All right. So this is a conversation that I don't hear a lot of people talking about. I don't hear a lot of people talking about considering if you are good for somebody else. And I think that's a conversation that we need to be having in relationships. If you're in a relationship and you feel like you're mature enough to be in one, you got to be mature enough to have that kind of conversation. This is all crooked.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. There we go. All right. Now it's symmetrical. It looks better. Yeah.
I'm super anal. FYI, I'm super anal just like that.
I have to make sure I fix that. All right. So going forward, one of the things that you guys should be doing is don't try to avoid making a list or having standards. I think standards is important, and it helps us identify some of the things that we want or some of the things that we need. We have to be able to do that. He has a question.
Yeah, I read it.
You want to read it?
No, yeah, well, it said, So Torres said, it says, if you have a childhood trauma, a major one, does that mean that you can never be in a relationship? It says, if you can trust anyone. So no, that doesn't mean that you can't be in a relationship. You just have to take the proper steps in order to make sure that you're okay and you've healed from that childhood trauma in order to be in a healthy and successful relationship. You know, I think you should probably just go to therapy, speak to a professional about what you went through. No, you're not doomed. You're not. I promise you, you have the ability to find love and in all the right and a healthy relationship. You know, it says, I've been in therapy for 20 years. Well, then you need to find a new therapist because those are not, they're not working then. Like, has it been the same one? Because, you know, I feel like so, and that's another, I just want to put that out there because I feel like no one really talks about this, but therapy is extremely good and helpful, right? For everyone. I think everyone has trauma in their life, right? Whether it's childhood, adult, whatever, right? So finding a good therapist is trial and error. You know, you have to see if he or she fits with you, if you're able to mesh well. So maybe you just haven't found the right therapist. That's all. You know what I mean? Just like relationships, it's trial and error. Like, you know, this may not work. This may work for, you know, a season, you know, or a lesson in that moment, but it's trial and error.
And I'll let you guys in on this. Effective therapy helps create self-resilience in their clients. A counselor who helps people develop self-resilience and self-coping done their job. You should be, it would be ideal not to be in therapy for that long because they would have prepared you to be able to handle certain things. On your own. Now, sometimes some trauma takes a long time to unpack and heal from. And I think that if you have unresolved issues from your past and through childhood trauma, maybe being in a relationship right now is not the thing for you. Focusing on yourself, healing through that, asking God for help, and moving forward from there will help you. Like right now, you may not be in a position to meet somebody else's needs because you really can't meet your own need. And that's not a bad thing. I've been in therapy. I've had counseling. I've been in counseling. And mental health is one of those things where we have this idea that because we're seeing a counselor, there's something mentally wrong with us. And that's not so. It's not so at all. At all. We should all be able to have somebody that we can trust and talk to help us with the issues that we need. And the truth is, a lot of us already know what we need to do. We just may need some support doing it. And counselors will help you do that as well.
Ritz just said something too. I don't know if you want to what he just wrote.
I am naturally someone who helps people, and I guess expecting that from others is idiotic. Well, no. To help people without expectations, and I think that's where people get stressed out. We expect people to reciprocate. Don't expect it. Just do it. Try to find joy in helping people out, and don't expect people to be there for you. Just don't. If it happens, appreciate it. But don't do things and hope that people will do things for you, because then you're going to be disappointed every time somebody doesn't reciprocate. And Marisol
thought, and I think he meant it in another way. I'm sorry, Dre.
Okay, I could be wrong.
I think what he meant was that to seek help from someone else as far as therapy, right? Because Ritz, that's someone else, right? Where he was saying, like, as far as receiving help, the fact that he helps people, he finds it very idiotic. Right. And so I'm trying to tell him that, no, that's not true, because all counselors actually seek other counselors.
Yep.
So everyone, the more help is like welcomed. Right. You can never have enough help. Right. Yeah. So I think bettering yourself is always an A+. That's always check. Always improving yourself. So no, that's not what I'm. Oh, OK.
Well, good question.
My bad. So Dre got it right.
Okay, got it. Okay, Marisol asked a really good question. She said, so I talked about how asking us if we are meeting the needs of somebody else, and she asked that asking ourselves that could sort of hinder our self-confidence? Isn't that kind of lack of self-confidence? Asking yourself if you are good enough for the other person. So I'm not saying ask yourself if you're good enough for the other person. I'm asking to ask yourselves if you're meeting the needs of the other person. If you're not meeting those needs, let's be perfectly honest with you, and I'll give you an example. And here's an example. Let's say I'm single, and I'm about to be 40 this year. So I'm single, and this 23-year-old comes to me and says, "You know, I think you're handsome. You're a great guy. I really would like to get to know you better," and which probably wouldn't happen because, you know, guys are usually the initiator. But let's say that hypothetically that happens.
Women in New York are aggressive. It could happen.
Facts. Right? If that happens, right? She's 23. There are certain needs that I know I will not be able to meet, right? Socially, just particularly socially, because at that age, a lot of 23-year-olds, they want to be able to go out. They want to be able to have fun, connect with their friends. I'm good with hanging out with 20 and 25-year-olds. Like, I don't have to. And that's one need that I'm not going to be able to meet. She's going to be asking me to go and hang out with her friends. And I'm going to be like, nah, I'm good at home with a book, a coffee, some tea, maybe a glass of Moscato. I'm good. I don't need to be going out like that. Like, that's one need that I'm not going to meet, you know? So that's pretty much what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, that to ask yourself if you're good enough for the person. Don't ever say that you're not good enough for somebody else. And that's the thing that our society have. We have this thing where we say that they're not in the same ballpark. Like, some people are not in the same ballpark. And I used to think that about myself. A couple of years ago, when I was struggling, I used to think that I wasn't good enough for some people. I really genuinely thought that. But my worth is not built on, Jada wrote, "What's your know your worth?" My worth isn't built on what I have, or me thinking about whether or not I'm good for somebody else or good enough for somebody else. But I have to be able to understand that I am who I am, and the person that I may be dating is who they are, just like you guys. And if you can't meet those needs effectively, and you love them, you should be able to let them go. Either rise up to meet those needs, work on those things and grow and develop in that area, or just say, you know, this is not where we should be. Yeah. It's not for me. I'm not for you. We're not compatible.
And that's okay to say. Yeah. That's okay to say.
Yeah. And if you're able to do that effectively, it shows how strong of a person you are. Actually, it shows how much confidence in yourself you have. Mm. All right. We have 5 minutes left. I'm going to try to end exactly at 9 o'clock. All right. I do want to thank everybody for listening, for watching, for engaging in the conversation. Jada, once again, thank you so much for joining in on the conversation and showing your face. Where's your husband at? He could have joined us too.
I think he's watching a game or something.
He met his quota for once a week.
Yeah, he's like, pretty sure for the year.
But yeah, all right, tell him I said what's up. So everybody, thank you guys so much. This is the Togetherness Podcast. Now, I do this because I really want to help people grow in their relationships and grow in their marriage and live their life together effectively and with joy. And I spell together differently. It's T-W-O with like the two, togetherness. And that's important because for two people to live together in harmony, they have to be together. Right? Two becomes one. All right. So I'm going to call it a night. We're going to get ready to listen to Dr. Vibe's show tonight. It's a good one on Get Vocal. Yes. If you're on YouTube or Facebook right now, if you go to Get Vocal, GETVOKL.com, you'll be able to join that show tonight as well. And even joining the conversation. But I'm going to call it a night. Everybody, have a good night. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for watching every week. This is the 9th episode. We're going to continue going. Next week, we're going to meet again next Thursday, 8 p.m. Please join in the conversation. I really appreciate you guys because you could be doing something else right now, But dozens of you are watching this live with us tonight. I really appreciate you, like, from the bottom of my heart. Love you.
He said 3 minutes left. He said he wants a refund.
Who said that? Who wants a refund?
He said because there's 3 minutes left. He said we're supposed to stop at 9 o'clock on the dot.
Very funny. Yeah. Yeah, but I do appreciate you guys. Like, this is good. And I'm hoping that you find this helpful. Please like these videos, share it out with your friends, people that you know who are married, singles who you think would benefit from this, anybody that would, because my hope is to be a help. Like I said, I don't pretend to be a love expert or a love guru, but I've learned some things. I just want to be able to share them out. And I wish that I had me, you know, 15 years ago when I was going through what I was going through in my marriage. So my hope is to be there for you, just like I wish somebody was there for me. Everybody, have a good night. No, I'm not married, Ritz. I was, but I'm not married anymore. Have a good night. God bless you. And until next Thursday, peace.
Hey, Kente.
Kente, now you come,
bro. Recording? Did you stop recording?
I'm recording. Yeah, just now.
Wait, did you stop?